circumcised today. What? That wasn't, yeah, no working today. That's right. What? I wasn't planning on that today. Woo. Wow. Yeah. But Abraham immediately did what God told him to do. He followed through, not only for himself, but everybody else in his household. All the other men and boys in his household. Really remarkable.
Maybe they weren't such wimps back in the olden days. They could take pain a lot of
I'm sure they didn't have ice.
Tom, are you going to take that? Come on, Tom, are you going to take that?
Yeah. I don't know.
He dishes it up too.
He's always outnumbered. That never stopped him before.
Archie's on his
side. Yeah. Could be.
Yeah, we're talking about you.
All right. Let's get into our points to ponder. So maybe the best way to do this would be to assign scripture passages. There's a bunch of them in these verses. I think we got enough to cover most of them. So who's got Acts?
I do.
Okay. Maddie's got Acts. Who wants Romans 8, 38, and 39?
I have it.
Okay, great. And then Hebrews 11. Who just read Hebrews? Are you there yet?
I got it.
You got Hebrews? All right, great. Woo! Look ahead. They're fast. Genesis 15, 6. If you got your book open to Genesis, you're there. Pretty close. Galatians 3, 6 to 9.
I can do that. Oh.
Sin, you going to get that?
I can do that
one. Okay, all right.
I'm there.
Okay. Just got a few more. I don't mind taking in some either. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Okay, great. 2 Peter 3, 8 through 9.
I can do that.
Wonderful. Okay. Matthew 14, 31.
I'll do that.
Great. And so that I'm involved, I'll do James 4, 1 to 3. Why don't you grab your passages at this point, and then that'll let us just kind of talk our way through them. James 4. All right.
Ready?
Well, let's read the question first. Yeah, right. I love that. Good for you. Wait. Ready and raring to go. Why doesn't God appear to us like he appeared to Abram and the Israelites? Acts 17, 24 to 18. That doesn't work, does it? I wonder if that's 14 to 18. Or it's either 24 to 28 or it's probably 14 to 18. I'm not sure.
Are you saying it's a typo?
It's a typo. Yeah.
14 to 18.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. We'll find out.
The believers acted at once, sending Paul on to the coast, while Silas and Timothy remained behind. Those escorting Paul went with him all the way to Athens.
Yep. Athens. Yep.
Then they returned to Peru.
Berea?
Berea, with instructions for Silas and Timothy to hurry and join him.
Maddie, guess what?
That was the wrong one.
That's the wrong one. It is 24 to 28. I apologize. My fault.
Oh, that's okay. All right. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist.
Some of, I'm sorry. Yeah, did you go all through 28?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Those, some of those last words that Maddie read are the key. He is not far from any of us. Okay, so we may not have a face-to-face with God, so to speak, like Abraham did and some of the other men and women in the Bible, but he's not far ever. He's never far from us. What was Jesus' promise? I am with you always. Okay? And it's like we talked about a few weeks ago, even in worship and in the sermon, God is ministering to us all the time in many miraculous and wonderful ways. So God is always near to us. Romans 8, 38 and 39.
For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
I love those words. I love those words. God's love, Jesus' love is always with us. No matter what we're going through, no matter where we're at, what frustrations we may be facing, what difficulties may be challenging us, Christ's love is always with us. Hebrews 11, 1 to 2.
Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's times we would say, Lord, I really, really need the assurance of seeing you right now. Could we just talk? Could you personally tell me and touch me and reassure me, hug me, because I'm really going through a really hard time right now. I really, really need that, but God doesn't typically work that way today. Now, I believe miracles happen all the time. God is doing miracles all the time in our lives and in the world. But that passage talks about faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We just trust in God's promises. We trust in what God has told us. And we cling to those words. That is our strength. That is our hope. That is our assurance. That is our reassurance. Any other questions or comments on why doesn't God appear to us like he appeared to Abram and the Israelites?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the faith is being sure, the wording again, what you said?
Yeah, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Number two, agree or disagree. The people of the Old Testament and the people of the New Testament are saved in the same way.
Yes.
And why would you say that?
Because the people in the Old Testament were told that there will be a Savior.
Yeah. And the people of the New Testament, we believe God did send the Savior. Good. Excellent. So both are saved through faith in Jesus. Okay. Let's read the passages and we'll talk about this a little bit more. Genesis 15, verse 6. Who's got Genesis 15, 6? Could be. I get it.
Yeah.
I got it. Genesis 15. Verse 6. Abram believed the Lord, and he, that would be the Lord, credited it to him, Abram, as righteousness. Paul writes a lot about that, those words in the New Testament. Galatians 3, 6 through 9.
Just as Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, so you see, those who believe are the descendants of Abraham. How far am I supposed to go?
Through verse 9.
Okay. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, declared the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the Gentiles shall be blessed in you. For this reason, those who believe are blessed with Abraham who believed.
Good. So we would agree with that statement. The people of the Old Testament and the people of the New Testament are saved in the same way through faith in Jesus. The Old Testament people believed God would send Jesus. New Testament believers believe God did send Jesus. But you could argue also that it is a little different in that the Old Testament believers were looking ahead and the New Testament believers are looking back. So that's different, I guess. But number three. Do we ever doubt God's promises and try to take things into our own hands?
Yeah.
I was hoping nobody would be saying no, I don't do that. So why does this happen?
We're impatient.
Yeah, that's, yes, yes. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Good. So, point A, we don't understand God's ways always. Sometimes it's pretty clear, but sometimes it's not. We don't understand. 2 Peter 3, 8 and 9.
Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance.
God is patient. We are not. At least not always. That's point B. Point A, we don't understand. Point B, we get impatient. And Matthew 14, 31.
Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me?
Do you know who Jesus said that to? Maddie's got it in front of her.
Okay.
To Peter.
Sorry, that's me.
No, I was asking everybody, Maddie, not just you.
Oh, yeah.
I was asking everybody. That was Peter. Remember the circumstances? Jesus was walking on the water, and impetuous Peter gets out of the boat, said, Jesus, let me come to you. Jesus said, come on out. Peter gets out of the boat, starts walking to Jesus, and he's saying, this is amazing. I'm walking on the water. And then he starts looking at the waves and feeling the wind blowing, and he's saying, I can't do this. I can't do this. And he started sinking. And what did Jesus say? It was Maddie. She read the words.
Why do you have so little faith?
Why do you have so little faith? Why'd you doubt? I told you you could. And you doubted. You didn't trust my words. So that's point C. We doubt. We don't understand. We get impatient. And we doubt. So, in your experience, how does trying to take over for God usually turn out?
Not really.
It generally doesn't go too well for us, does it? I know. James 4, 1, 2, and 3.
That's you.
Oh, that's me. Hey, thank you. I got that. James 4, 1 to 3. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So, how does trying to take over for God usually turn out? We already talked about that. Doesn't turn out well, typically. And James is writing about just often that we're so selfish. We're just seeking our own benefit. We're thinking about, God, please give this to me so that I can enjoy it myself. That sort of a thing. Questions, comments? reflect on the similarities and differences between circumcision and baptism.
Baptism happens to everybody. Circumcision, you can only do on the boys.
That's a difference. That's a significant difference, isn't it? Yeah. Although, apparently, like in some African nations and whatnot, girls are also circumcised too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, yeah, it's with often long-term problems that come from that. It's pretty sad, actually. But yes, generally speaking, circumcision just for the males, baptism intended for everyone. That's a dramatic difference. Okay? Any other thoughts? Similarities, differences?
Circumcision was it was a covenant, so you're... What am I trying to say? Same as baptism, where you're giving your life to the Lord. You're both making sacrifices, or...
I think both are done in obedience to God's command, right?
Yeah.
And that's absolutely a definite similarity. Both are done in obedience to God's command. And tied in with that, both really were or are a means of grace. The circumcision in the Old Testament was, when that happened, you became a part of God's family. So we often don't think of circumcision in that way in the Old Testament, but it really was. It was that acceptance that God brought to the individual and the people because of it. Same as in baptism.
Well, circumcision was part of the Old Testament law.
Yes. It absolutely is part of the Old Testament law, and that God commanded to do it. But that doesn't mean it didn't bring blessings to the people. So yes, it was something God commanded to be done, was expected by God to be done, was part of the law, yes, the Old Testament ceremonial law, but God still brought wonderful blessings to those who did. I mean, it's the same way for baptism today. Real briefly, you understand this, I'm sure, but it's always wonderful to reflect on this. Most of Christianity regards baptism and the Lord's Supper as symbolic. That is something that people do to show their love for God or to dedicate their life to God. As Lutherans, we recognize that it's so much more than that. It's God's special gift that he gives to the church that personally reminds us that he loves us, he forgives us, and we are saved, and we are part of his family. And that's significant. That's a significant difference. And part of it goes back to what we talked about earlier. Many Christians don't believe in original sin, that little babies are sinful from the moment they begin to exist. They'll say babies are inclined towards sin, and eventually they all get there. Whereas we look at what the Bible says, and we say the Bible is clear, we are sinful from the moment we begin to exist. Okay? God, who recognizes this truth, gives us this incredible gift of baptism, through which he washes clean, brings even the littlest ones into his family, and sets them apart for salvation. That's significantly different than just something that is done as an obedience thing or as a symbolic thing. And that's also why we treasure the Lord's Supper so much. That it's not just an obedience thing. It's a way that God blesses us personally through the means of grace, through a sacrament. So,
sorry. I didn't know if you were done.
Go ahead.
The church that I grew up in, Browns Corners,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what they are, but anyways, I got baptized when I was like 12 because if I was ready.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So
yep.
That's,
yep. That's pretty typical, Maddie.
Yes.
That's pretty typical.
What I realized also that was different from our church and then.
Right. And that's pretty typical. And so you needed to be old enough to really understand what you were doing,
yep.
to really be dedicated to God, that you're going to really live your life for God. That's how they look at it. So they look at it more as much of Christianity looks at baptism and the Lord's Supper as something believers do for God.
Mm-hmm. But it's
it's a gift that God has given us through which God does wonderful things for us. That's the incredible thing, and this is such a precious treasure. Don't ever lose sight of that. And it's not just a Lutheran take on things. We can show you from the Bible. God talks about the forgiveness he brings us through this, the salvation that is ours, being brought into God's family. It's really a marvelous, incredible, beautiful thing. So, good. Well, I think our time is almost up. You got any other thoughts on similarities between circumcision and baptism?
It wasn't done in the Old Testament, to the Old Testament people, was
baptism?
It? Yeah.
No.
It's only New Testament.
Correct. Correct. Yep. Kind of started with John the Baptist, of course. Yeah. Good. Another, I don't know if we mentioned this, a similarity between the two is that both were intended for infants. That's a similarity. Both set believers apart for God. That's a similarity. So, all right. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we give you all thanks and praise that you in the Old Testament and in the New Testament provided a way for your people to be set aside for you. We marvel at your grace, your mercy, your love that would give us these incredible gifts we do not deserve. And we thank you for the privilege of doing the baptism and the Lord's Supper and rejoicing in all that it means and all the blessings you bring us through it. Thank you for this opportunity to reflect upon your truths. We pray this in your Son, our Savior's name. Amen.